said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round your radio now for Uzi and Aaron.
Mayday, mayday. This is relationship number 456. We've got no choice. We're going to have to make an emergency landing.
Crash investigator Hughes, we have reports of a relationship crashing and burning off the coast of Tinder.
My God, not another one. Did we recover the black box?
We sure did.
Well, stop wasting time. Get that thing open and let's see what went wrong.
Got to remember, they're real life text conversations. It's we just role play. These are, we haven't make up any of these words. Who have we got today?
Aaron and Husey. Today it's the story of Josie and Bruce. They had been dating for 12 months throughout the last year of uni. Then, hours before their final exam, everything changed.
All right, Aaron will be playing Josie, I will be Bruce.
I love you, babe.
Nice! Exclamation mark.
Good luck today.
Thanks.
I can't wait to spend the summer with you. Babe? Babe?
So, can I be honest with you?
Go on.
God, hang on.
Come on, Bruce.
Are you turning the page, Bruce?
Yes, Bruce. I am.
Come on, Bruce.
One more time for that, please. I just feel like our physical connection doesn't feel special to me anymore.
Huh?
It feels boring. I don't know why.
Where's this come from?
I feel I've been sucked in by your good looks and body and stuff. And I don't actually really like you for who you are. I don't think we're right for each other. And again, you didn't do anything wrong and it's not personal.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I don't know what to say.
Fair enough. Have a little think if you want. I got to study. That cool?
Josie blocks Bruce.
Not personal, oh Josie. Did you take it personally, even though he said it wasn't personal?
I think you've got to take it a little bit personally after a year of being with someone, but yeah.
It's a.
Can I just say, though, like as women, we're always guilty of looking for anything negative. Did you do the opposite and kind of, I've got a hot body and a hot face? Did that buoy you a little bit?
Oh, look, honestly, I was just so blindsided. So maybe I was just looking for all of the good things, but for it to just come out like that, over message, day of exams, I just thought, you know, is this really happening?
Yeah, no, it was a poorly choiced timing of dumping. There's no doubt about that. And we've got a photo of you and you are beautiful. There's no doubt about that. I do wonder about when people are beautiful and they get dumped. Is that even harder? Do you know what I mean? So,
I wouldn't
know.
Yeah,
it is.
It is, Aaron?
It's heaps harder.
Have you found love since, Josie? Have you given your heart to someone else?
Well, the story goes that he came crawling back for a second chance. I stupidly gave the second chance. A dumping of a similar kind, blindsided, happened, but I am now happily with someone else. So,
well done.
Yeah. But I don't know if you can say you were blindsided the second time.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hey, we got $500. $500 for you. Well played to you, Josie. If you've got messages too, you can always send them to us at Husey and Aaron on the socials. We keep it anonymous. But, Aaron Mullen, you promised us next to come back and tell us a time where you were brutally dumped.
Just heard from Josie. She was dumped on the day of her exams by a boyfriend who was just, he was not caring in his attitude, I wouldn't have thought. But Aaron, you know what this is about. It's happened to you.
I do. I think most people have gone through this. And I was dating this guy who lived in Brisbane. And we actually met because he came to the audience of the footy show back when that still lived a life.
He saw
and that's how we met.
But he came for
you. Well, I think so. I don't think he was coming to see Fatty. Like,
yeah.
Was Fatty in a dress?
Potentially with Sterlo doing the yogurt ad. Very, very cute. But anyway, so we met that way. We dated for a little while. And then it made the media and the boys then announced it on the footy show we were dating. And the next day I flew up. I know, it was cringe. I flew up to Brisbane to see him. And we were getting like an acai bowl cup thing. It was disgusting. And literally just sat down next to the cafe and he said it wasn't working. And he had his, I don't want to say stupid little dog, but little dog there that he then, so he told me that, which was awful and embarrassing and just awful. And then he wanted to take the dog to the dog park afterwards on the way home to give the dog a run around. So I'm just standing there and he's just dumped me and I have to watch his, I don't want to say stupid little dog, but watch his dog run around. And then we had to walk home. Then I had to get a taxi to the airport, try to get on a flight, which there wasn't one for a few hours. I ended up spending like 2 or 3 hours in the disabled toilet crying. And I'm sorry if anyone needed to use it.
But hang on. Did you fly? Did he? So he knew he was going to dump you before you got on the plane to Brisbane.
Well, unless seeing me for that 20 minutes from when I arrived to when we went to get the acai bowl really, really changed his mind.
Well, you would have preferred that by phone call so you didn't have to make the flight, wouldn't you?
This is my point when people say, oh, you've got to break up in person. No, send me a text, please. Yeah. Send me a one-line text and I'm 100% supportive.
It was a week after it had been publicly announced.
Yes. And then, of course, the next thing on the footy show, all they want to do is talk about it. And I had to be like, actually, where have we broken up?
Oh, no.
It's just embarrassing.
That is
anyway, you can Google him. He did a Twitter announcement that we were dating that said, new contract, new girl.
Oh,
yeah, that went well.
What happened?
I think his contract lasted longer.
In 1 week. What happened? Did you?
Yes. I don't know. It wasn't. He said it wasn't personal.
Big week.
I had some issues, okay? I've really grown up since then.
All right. Well, you're not alone.
Have you been brutally dumped? Erin shared.
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
So many terrible dumping stories.
It's awful.
Devote a bit of time to this. Who are we starting with?
Well, Sue, were you brutally dumped?
I certainly was, yep.
What happened, Sue?
Okay, on my 7th year anniversary, they say the 7-year itch happens. We went to this absolutely stunning restaurant and dropped my kids off at my in-laws. I had a 2- and a 3-year-old. And, my ex-husband now said want a divorce.
Oh, do you say that at the start of dinner or the end of dinner?
No, we had actually ordered dinner, and then while we were waiting for our meal, he said, "Oh, just to let you know, I want a divorce." And of course, I couldn't eat after that. And I remember the waitress saying, "Oh, is there something wrong with your meal?" And I just burst into tears and went to the bathroom. And look, they had lovely ladies in the bathroom saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" So one lady even offered to drive me home, like, and we're talking, you know, like a 40-minute drive. And, I had to go pick up my kids.
Was that premeditated? Like, did something happen from when you dropped the kids to dinner or was part of the whole plan?
That was part of his whole plan. Yeah, I was absolutely gobsmacked.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything. He must have wanted to do it in a public place, do you reckon?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, so you couldn't go at him. Yeah. Did he have dinner? Do you know, did he finish his meal or not?
He ate. Yeah, he ate. And as I said, I couldn't touch my meal. I came back to the table I was just complete silence for the whole rest of the evening. So
you watched him eat.
What could I do? So yeah.
Did he at least pay?
Tell
for
me
the
you're
meal?
Happy now.
Oh no, we've been. I've been with my new husband now for 20 years, and yeah, thrilled to bits. So,
but you, do you ever go out for dinner with your new husband, or you just no public dinners?
No. Completely different kettle of fish, let me tell you. Completely different.
Well, good news. I was thrown into the fire. I was right in it. Coaching my daughter's under 12 basketball team. They are a really good side. Mm. They were winning easily and they weren't listening to a word I said. Even the girl who had 4 fouls, she would not come off. It's like, we're in charge. What do you do, Erin? What have you coached?
Gymnastics. I coached for nearly 10 years. I loved it when I was younger and started coaching about 14, 15 when I lived in Indonesia. And then we took a couple of teams overseas to Singapore and to Malaysia as well for a competition. And yeah, and then when I came back to Australia, I coached until I was about 20, 21.
So you're in charge of children. Would they listen to you?
For the most part, gymnasts are quite disciplined. So it's probably a little bit easier than doing like a ball sport or a kind of, because they're by nature. And I used to do the kind of more advanced group. So they were young, but they were very focused and very committed. So look, it was like, it's challenging, but yeah, I loved it so much. I thought that was what I would do for a kind of a job. Like Bella Caroldi, who was Nadia Comaneci's coach back in the day, I was obsessed with.
Yeah, were you able to manage their emotions when they're like, you know?
Yeah, look, I was basically 12 when I did it, so probably not. But I knew that you had to empower them, you had to make them feel good, and you had to get the best out of them was when they were feeling the most confident and you know, so I kind of, you learn that early. That's pretty basic. That's
good. So would you point out their errors when they made them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But in a kind and reassuring way, you know, and it's all just constructive. Like, you know, if someone's not pointing their toe, you say, oh, that was an amazing leap. But next time try and point both those toes. Dang. Or try and get a bit, you know, it's that kind of a compliment with a little bit of construction.
Yeah, that sandwich that they say, the famous sandwich.
Yeah, that's right.
With the bad bits in the middle.
No, fully aware of the sandwich. Yeah. Veronica, you've got some tips.
I do. Hughesy needs to toughen up a bit. His own children don't really listen to him, so I don't think the basketball girls are going to.
Right, point. They don't listen to me, and they're disdain is the word I would use. So are you able to, like, what have you coached?
I used to coach soccer from nursery through to the all-age men for about 15 years.
Yeah.
So huge age difference. But, yeah, you just treat them as, you know, you want to be treated with a little bit of respect and discipline and love. And they do what they need to do. Won a few grand finals and everything else. Being a woman in a male-dominated sport with lots of fun. But, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you point, if they're making errors, you point it out. You say this
absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, I need some of Veronica's steel.
You do it for noble reasons. That's really sweet.
I was doing it for noble reasons on the weekend. Not there was really. No cash involved. I didn't pass that around.
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
We're talking famous family feuds and this isn't the royals, is it?
No, but I mean royalty, British royalty all the same. Victoria Beckham and her newly minted daughter-in-law, Nicola Peltz-Beckham.
Yep, so she married Brooklyn.
Yes, their eldest son. And look, there's been a whole sequence of events that have led people to believe that there is a big feud. Now, both Nicola and Brooklyn have denied this in a recent article in Vogue. They're always going to write stuff like that. They're always going to try and put people down. Everyone gets along, which is good.
You don't believe it?
No, there's definitely a feud.
Well, what's the evidence of a feud?
Okay, well, starting with the lead up to the wedding, Nicola didn't want Victoria to have any part in the planning. She also wouldn't wear Victoria's designer dress.
What?
Victoria's a dress designer.
That's family money. The money that comes to Victoria will eventually trickle down to Brooklyn and
her.
Yeah,
there's an issue. You know what the issue is?
What?
If Nicola was some poor girl with relatively average income-earning parents, she would be needing to suck up to Victoria. The issue is her family are filthy rich, more richer than the Beckhams.
Oh.
So she doesn't need Beckham money.
Yeah, right.
So she's arrogantly rich.
So Brooklyn has married up.
Yes, and they look down on the Beckhams because they look at, oh, Spice Girls, we're from real money. By the way, I'm using a lot of creative license in this kind of sequence of events.
No, you just go for it.
Yeah, and anyway, and then she, Nicola, also made negatively veiled swipes towards the Beckhams during an earlier interview where she said, Brooklyn feels a lot of pressure to do jobs that he doesn't want to do because the expectation from people around him is intense.
So to make money.
Yeah. So they wanted him, his parents basically, she's saying his parents basically forced him to do jobs that they thought were appropriate but didn't make him happy.
Right. So Nicola, the daughter-in-law, is saying that her mother-in-law is too focused on money.
Yeah, or fame or what other people think. And anyway, and then the Peltzers, they turn up their noses at the Beckhams.
Yeah, how are the Peltzers rich? Where's the Peltz money
come from?
I don't
know. I think probably good money like oil or something.
Yeah, right. Solid money.
Yeah, they're Florida. They're Florida society. They can't be controlled with the Peltz money. Oh, wait. So David's fortune's around $750 million, but the Peltzers, $1.8 billion.
Oh, they're three times, aren't they? Almost.
They're also backing Brooklyn's latest business venture. This is the Peltz, not the Beckhams. Oh, he's doing a cooking show. And guess who's paying? Not the Beckhams, the Peltzers.
Oh, this is crazy.
Another question, did Brooklyn miss Mother's Day on Instagram? Yes, he did.
How could he?
How could he? Exactly.
British men have got to stop marrying American women. Because Victoria's upset. We know how angry the Queen is of Markle.
So true. Nicola also recently posted a picture of her crying on Instagram. She posted it with the caption, "Sometimes I find it hard to show the sad bits. Growing up with seven siblings and two very strong parents," and then in brackets, "unlike my husband's," close bracket, "made me really tough. They hammered into me not to let other people bring me down. Blah, 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 emotions. I just thought I would write something because I never show this side of me. I want to show this side of me, and I wish my husband was allowed to too, but his parents would disown him. I love you guys."
Did she hashtag posh boss is a bitch? No.
That's exactly what she did.
Oh, but mother-in-laws, you know, you can't live with them. You can't. No, I've got a beautiful mother-in-law.
Yeah, so I've never had issues. I feel like all my previous partners have had just great mums. Like, I've never had evil ones.
Can people relate?
Yeah,
family's huge. People. Has there been one in your family? Is it over? Is it the mother-in-law, the classic mother-in-law situation?
So mother-in-laws or just family feuds we're talking here. So
we're not fussy.
But I tell you what, as a bloke, if your mother doesn't like your partner, they know about it. Yeah, so I've had that in the past where...
Oh, goodness.
Oh, remember we had the reporter on who said that my mother tried to set me up with her?
Oh, that's right. She obviously did like her.
While I had a girlfriend.
Yeah. So, yeah. That was, wow.
Wildly inappropriate from
Wildly.
Mom. I mean, you know, you've got to respect your children's choices.
Yeah.
Even if you know we'll end up in misery.
It's a real, I've never had the issue. It's really fun. And I've dated some complete douchebags over the years, but mum and dad have always been quite pleasant to them.
Shout out to all those douchebags. Might be still keen to keep up with Aaron's goings on.
Yeah. So, yeah. Not all of them, most. 70%.
Well, can we go to Bonnie?
My family feud is a little bit different. It's about an unfair decision. Discrimination, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, dear.
So my parents, I'm one of two children. I have a younger brother by 7 years, and my dad is an avid car collector. He's a Holden fan.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He has an original mint condition Tirana. That I think is probably from the 1970s, because I was born in 1986.
God.
He's worth a ton of money, and they'd probably kill me even for just mentioning that.
I think Ed needs a moment. So, Ed, you need to clean yourself up
here. The yellow and the black.
Lift the camera up, please, guys.
Come on, man. Let's not put that on the internet.
I'm not 100% on the gear, but it's got the yellow in leather. Oh, sorry, not yellow. Leather interior. Yeah, it's got my mum's garter belt around the gear stick.
Yeah. It's hot. That's hot. It's the good for him. It was the era where he was everything he wanted to be. You know.
Yeah. So, now he's got kids and ball and chain.
I remember my sister's boyfriend had a Tirana, and this is back in the mid '80s, and he took me for a drive on a country road, and I reckon we did. Oh, I know we did. We went up to 200 kilometres an hour in that car. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
In second gear.
So what's the issue then, Bonnie? It sounds like everything's amazing.
No. So the issue is that this car is going to my younger brother to stay in the family name, not to the firstborn daughter, whose husband happens to be his favourite type of car. And I mean, my dad's got Monaros and he's got Sandman panel vans and a Jim Beam promotional Harley.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So they all want to go to my brother. And so, the biggest thing is that I have two daughters and my brother has one son. And he's like, no, if I give it to him, it stays in the family name.
Oh, if he wants it.
What?
That's crazy. You know what?
But it's not fair, you know. I should be entitled to some of that money that car's valued.
When you sell it on, you know, eBay.
I don't think she wants to sell it.
No, she just doesn't.
Would never. It's his baby. I think he loves it more than me.
That's a rift between you and your husband, who is the son-in-law of your dad. So, that's a shocker.
Yeah, look, that's disgraceful, Bonnie. Thanks for sharing it with us. I don't know if this will help your situation, but it couldn't be any worse.
Well, exactly. Sharing is caring. No doubt Channel 10 on fire at the moment. You know, they've got Have You Been Paying Attention? Number one show every week. Ed's on that. Well, it is. That's his show.
It's Ed.
Got the Masked Singer.
It's on fire.
That's on fire.
You know, MKR and it's dust.
See ya.
Coming for the block.
Really aggressive.
Coming for the block.
Yeah, absolutely.
But an amazing race is coming up.
Bo Ryan in Belize.
He hates traveling, though. Yeah, he hates being away from his family. He genuinely does. Incredible. So that would have been hard for him.
Really hard.
And tonight, I tell you what, the Doghouse, which has always been a winner for Channel 10 since it started.
Yeah, cute.
They're upping the ante with this.
For the first time, it's celebrities adopting pooches.
Almost like a blind date.
And is it important that the dog likes tennis balls?
The celebrity special.
People like Mark Philippoussis, the Pooh.
Yeah.
You know, whose big TV show before this was The Bachelor. He did, or no.
It was called something else. Oh, my God, he did too.
I think it was The Bachelor.
No. He walked past me at the Australian Open last year, and he is a good-looking rooster, I'll give you the
He's
nod.
A great guy. You know what? He actually landed. He fell on his feet, though. Beautiful wife.
Oh, she was with him, and she was more attractive than he.
Yeah, and he's such a family man.
Yeah.
So he's on this show.
He didn't even give me a second glance.
No. Well, he's focused. Laser focus. That's what got him to the finals of the Grand Slam events.
So true.
Beaten by Pat Rafter back in the day.
Yeah, that was rude.
The Aussie legend sat in Pat Rafter's box and not in Pooh's box.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been in any box, that legend.
Which legend?
Yeah, it was a legend.
Who?
His name escapes me, but he was a legend.
I thought there was like some issue with saying it, some legal thing. You just can't remember it.
Anyway, so these guys, do they know what...
Rod Laver?
It wasn't Rod Laver.
Yeah.
No. But do they know what they're getting themselves into? Ooh. Because I have personal experience of being a celebrity and also adopting a rescue dog. I had a rescue dog come on my TV show and it wasn't meant to go to me. It was meant to go to one of the people on the show. They backed out of the deal and my wife's like, well, what happened to that dog? And I'm like, I don't know. And she said, well, we have to adopt that dog. And we did adopt that dog. This is the moment we told Denise from Paws from somewhere. She's got rescue dogs. Denise?
Yes?
We want Bubbles.
Yay!
That was about 5 years ago. And we have Bubbles to this day. A rescue dog.
It just vomited in
Little mouth. Bubbles, who turned up massively overweight and a little bit frightened of the world. And we have loved Bubbles. Bubbles has lost weight, gone for walks, even though Bubbles never wants to go for walks.
How did you do that? Did you stick like a photo of a hot dog on the fridge so every time he went to get something out, he was reminded
Bubbles
of what he wanted to look?
And I always forget, but Bubbles is a woman.
Why do I always say him?
Bubbles looks like a bloke. But Bubbles are not a bloke. Not
that so who cares if he loses weight if he looks like a bloke?
Careful, you two.
What? Yeah, true.
Misgendering dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to misgender Bubbles. I don't know if Bubbles would care. But
haven't you asked?
Well, we look after Bubbles, and Bubbles still, I can't take Bubbles off the lead because Bubbles just runs off without any idea where she is. She just knows she doesn't want to be anywhere near me. She just runs over like 6, 7, 8, 10 lanes of traffic sometimes. I have to run out in front of trucks and go, stop! Bubbles needs to cross the road.
You know how dangerous that is?
You're really dangerous. I've experienced it.
Not for you or Bubbles, but for all the other cars it could crash.
Yeah, no, so Bubbles never goes off the lid anymore. Yeah. I thought Bubbles might learn. But you know what? Having a rescue dog is not easy, and I think people can relate. Rescue dog owners are the real heroes, and we need to talk to rescue dog owners.
Yeah, do you have a rescue dog?
We are here to sing your praises because I know how much work rescue dogs can be.
Do they smell more than normal dogs?
The term normal is problematic as well.
Oh God, I can't win.
Someone must have a rescue dog.
Do you have a rescue dog? Talk yourself up. You do online all day.
Celebrity Doghouse tonight on Channel 10. Rescue dogs. I rescued a dog. Rescued two dogs. I've had one for 16, 17 years now, Barkley, and another one, Bubbles, for probably 6 years.
How long have you had him?
Her, Bubbles. 6, 7 years. So I can't remember. But it's a lifetime commitment, and people need to remember that when they rescue. They're not rescuing a cavoodle that does everything right. You know, they're rescuing a dog that can have issues. And it's a joy, but it teaches you patience. But don't.
Alison, how many rescue dogs you got?
I've got two.
Now, Alison, you're a great person. Just get that out there because you're giving life to a dog that would probably have had its life. I won't say it, but you know what happens.
What happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Alison knows. Oh. So you looked at there. Where did you get them from, Alison?
I got them from Blacktown City Council.
Yeah, so they looked at you, looked at them, they looked at you, and they said, help me, give me a life. And you said, yes, I will.
Definitely.
I think it would have been more like, ruff, 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 ruff.
So how's it been, Alison, with these two? What sort of dogs are they?
I've got one Kelpie and one Labrador cross cattle.
So what's wrong with them? I mean, they're rescue dogs, so they've got to have something wrong with them. What's wrong with them?
My Kelpie, he looks like he's got ADHD. He just does not stop.
Yeah.
So I could go take him for a walk. I could take him for an hour walk, and then after that, I'd just come home, and he just wants me to continuously throw a ball, and he just never gets tired.
Yeah, it's go, go, go with some of these dogs. I've got one like that.
Jesus.
Barkley, who's 17, but whenever I get home, he looks at me like, where have you been, you a-hole?
You lazy.
And then you
lazy.
Sit on the couch, and he goes, why? Yeah. We're out of here, man. Let's go. And then if we're playing a basketball in the backyard, he's like, I'm getting involved. And I am. And there's nothing, you can't stop me.
And I don't know why you do it.
No, because it's a joy, as Alison knows.
Here comes Kylie. How many rescue dogs you got?
Hi, how are you? I've actually got three rescue dogs.
Wow.
Also from Denise at Paws, where Bubbles came from.
Yes, yep. Denise at Paws is she does a great job, Denise, and she'll have a dog for you. Denise at Paws, if you want a rescue dog. Right.
What are they called, Kylie, your dogs?
So their names are Cheese, Biscuit and Nibbles.
Love it.
What's wrong with them?
There's actually nothing wrong with them. Nah. And they're all their original names. So Cheese and Biscuit came to us as a pair. Their elderly owner had passed away very sadly. And Nibbles, because I've been involved as a foster carer for Denise at Paws, Nibbles came to us a bit later. He was having a few behavioural issues, but all he really needed was some love and positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
So he's nice. Joined the gang.
Yeah, good on Nibbles. But can I just focus on Cheese and Biscuits for a start?
Yes.
I mean, you can't ask where the dog's come. Maybe you can, but that's like a car that's come from an elderly person, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Did it smell?
No. No, it wouldn't have had many kilometres.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like Cheese and Biscuits have been
just to the church and back.
They are prime rescue.
That's good rescue.
Do you know what I mean?
That's good rescue.
I see what you're doing. Yeah.
Yes.
So there.
But Nibbles.
The Doghouse Australia.
Ed and Erin.
So I had dinner last night with Erin and a new boyfriend and her daughter, and they were a very happy unit. And I was so pleased for you that he's a great guy.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if it's going to last.
What's the problem?
I'm not needy. I wouldn't consider myself to be needy in that annoying chick needy way. But there's just been a few occasions over, say, the last fortnight where I've tried to contact him and he hasn't responded.
But at what time have you tried to contact him?
Well, the first one was midnight. The second one was midnight. And last night was 2:11 a.m.
Hey, I just met you.
Crazy. Here's my number. So call me, baby.
He does work, though. He's got a full-time job. He runs a business.
Yeah.
I imagine he values his sleep.
I guess.
So what were you contacting him about? Were you locked out of your house? Was there an intruder? What was the
I just couldn't sleep.
You couldn't sleep.
So like last night was, well, this morning, baby, hi. Nothing back.
At 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, because my thing is I'm not needy. I don't do this all the time. But if something's on my mind or I feel like I need a bit of reassurance, I just think he should have some way that his phone makes a noise when I contact him.
That's 2 o'clock would be deep sleep.
No, okay. So my point being, what if I was being attacked? What if there was an intruder in my house or a fire?
What if you just called him when you were being attacked so that he knows that you definitely would be being attacked, not just contacting late every night?
Yeah, but people have different definitions of need. And someone getting attacked by an intruder could be the equivalent of me lying there needing to talk.
Reassurance.
Yes.
When you say you're not needy, no one believes that.
No. What? Look me in the eye and tell me I'm not needy.
I can't.
I'm not needy. I'm not going to do it all the time. The only reason I do it now is I know his phone's on silent. He's not going to get it. I just think that if, just in case there's an emergency, I would like to know that if I need him, he can get back to me. Because at the moment, he just completely ignores me.
Because he knows there's not an emergency.
Yeah, but we're so early in. If he's ignoring me now and not responding to my needs, what's it going to be like in 2 years? I'm trying to stop this relationship from going down a very unhealthy path.
Yeah, but he's a strong character who has set boundaries, as he has with your daughter, and he gets her to eat her food. He's doing exactly the same thing with you.
I don't want boundaries. I want 24/7 access.
You and your daughter to get.
Find you.
Okay, that was not approved audio. That is not. I am not a psycho.
I think you are a psycho.
No, I'm not. I won't use it all the time. I just want him to put something in place so that if I message, he can hear it. And if he wants to then ignore it, fine. But I just want to know. I'm not that I find you person. That's like a psycho.
So basically you're having trouble sleeping and you want him to be awake all night as well.
I just think misery likes company. And if I've got to be awake, wouldn't he want to share that with me?
Should your partner be available to contact immediately?
Yes.
24 hours
absolutely.
A day?
Absolutely.
Do you have to be available or does your partner have to be available to you 24/7?
2 a.m. text messages to partners just to chat and they don't respond and Aaron thinks it might be a deal breaker.
Well, no, my point is that, yes, it was just a chat on the 3 occasions I've done it over the past couple of weeks, but what if there was an intruder or a fire and I really needed him to help?
Wouldn't you write that in the message?
Yeah, but he wouldn't see it. That's the whole point.
All right. Yeah, no.
His phone's on silent. So I just think he should have it set to something that pings when I message.
But he wants to sleep, obviously.
Oh, well, clearly. But it's such a new relationship that if he already wants to sleep over, talk to me, then that's a bad sign.
But it's not that new. It wasn't a booty call, was it? If you know what I mean.
Which no, I don't. Please explain. What does that mean?
Well, it's like 2 a.m. like on a Sunday morning.
I don't understand.
You know. Talk to her. Who are we talking to?
Well, Alice, should your partner be available 24/7?
I think yes and no. I probably wouldn't be as upset if they didn't reply at 2 in the morning, but I think if you're sharing a bed, it's a bit different because you can just roll over and be like, hey, wake up, I'm a little bit upset. Can you just cuddle me back to sleep?
Yeah. Yeah. See, the issue is my daughter's in bed with me, so he's not.
Oh.
She's not that supportive.
But it does beg the question is when are we making it? When are we going? De facto.
Oh, God, you're an idiot.
Why not?
We literally just launched this.
I know. I think it's time. Yeah. Move in. No, you just turn up there with Eliza tonight. Here I am.
You know, he's got children himself.
Exactly. The Brady Bunch situation.
Oh, God.
Get a housekeeper.
Oh, God, you're an idiot.
Here's Sarah. Sarah, should your partner be available?
Oh, goodness me. Oh, no. Here we go.
No, 100%. 100%. 24/7, 7 days a week.
Yeah. All year round, 100% they should be available.
God, you're Aaron, my kind of girl.
Yeah, but Sarah, do you have one of these magical people in your life?
I do. My husband does shift work, so he's always available, and we've got kids. So he's, like, it could be any emergency, anything.
Exactly. Like,
and so 100% available. But I will flag, if it's been 1 month you've been with him, that's crazy.
But it hasn't been 1 month. It's been longer than that.
It's been longer than a month.
Okay,
but
sure,
still,
sure.
I completely get you. If it had been a month, then, I mean, I'd be complete bunny boiler then.
Yeah, you're crazy. Otherwise.
Sarah, are you someone who just keeps calling? If they don't answer, call till they answer? Or is he always first ring?
No. I'll text and then I'll ring. And then I usually wait. My partner will usually respond within 10, 15 minutes and just dump. Wow. Like, it's all text and say, look, I'm busy. What's going on? And usually nothing. so then I'll just reply, but it's okay, all good. But, you know, just checking in, really, more than anything else.
I'm checking in.
Do you Aaron, if he calls you, do you always respond straight away?
Yes.
Always?
Always.
When I call, you don't respond often for like 10, 12 hours.
Correct.
There it is. 40% of people agree 24/7 is they should be available. 40% is not a bad result.
No, it's a fail still.
Wait, sorry. 40%.
It's a fail. Yes.
Well, what are the other 60% think?
They think that you, I don't know what they think.
Hughie, Ed and Aaron.
He is up and he is angry.
I've been taking a lot of Ubers and I've really been enjoying the rides. You know why? Because when I get in the Ubers, everyone goes, hi, Dave. And you know what? I'm thinking, I am famous.
Yeah.
I'm so famous. And when I get out, it says, you want to tip this guy? And I say, yeah, I sure do.
Boom.
Until I got in the Uber the other night and I realised my name comes up on the app. They don't know me.
No.
They're just saying Dave.
Yes.
I've got no idea.
Nope.
So I'm thinking this person's just got into this country and they already know me. They're conning me.
Yep.
I want all my tip money back.
Oh.
It's disgraceful.
So are you saying because someone doesn't know who you are, they don't deserve a tip?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So one of the hottest men in the world, Idris Elba, who might be the next James Bond, he was trying to have intimate times with his wife in a South African hotel or somewhere in South Africa where he's filming, and a bat was in the shower and he ran out, leaving his wife with the bat.
Mm.
And, I mean, people can relate to this because it happens. There's animals, wild animals. We're in a wild world and animals just turn up.
Particularly Australia, we've got a plethora of them.
We really do. Yeah, often if they bite you, you die.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Mm.
So, Isaac.
Hey, so I can relate to this story. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so what happened was my family go up to Foster every year for camping.
Love Foster. Lovely.
Beautiful.
And I decided to bring my new partner at the time up.
Yep.
And my family loved it. So she came up and on the first night, actually, we started being a little bit cheeky, got in the tent.
Sure.
And
it's your private tent, just you two in there. It wasn't a family tent, was it? It was just you two. Yeah.
But the silly thing was, we didn't seal it up. It was just an open tent.
Beautiful.
And, breeze coming in can help.
Bit flappy. Was it breezy?
It was, because we stay by the Blackhead Beach, it was a bit breezy.
Mm.
So you hear rustling, and you don't take anything for it.
Mm.
So what happened was we start having partner time and our heads are near the opening and we can hear this like rustling against the side of the tent, and she's like, no, it's just the wind, it's okay. So we went along and I feel something like on my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was her hand just like slowly moving.
Yeah.
And it felt too weird. It wasn't a hand.
And you didn't know her that well, so you didn't know what was going on, I imagine. Yeah.
I've looked up, and there's a goanna head right there.
Goanna, yep.
Attached to a body? Like attached to the body?
Yeah, no, it was at least a meter and a half long goanna.
Goanna, or Goanna, however you want to say it. So you thought you had the hand of your partner, but you were holding onto a Goanna while you were making love.
Floor of a Goanna.
Yes, he was trying to get a bit of action.
Oh, so the Goanna wanted to join in.
Yeah, it would have made me a bit embarrassed.
It's just his tail, though. So his tail.
I've jumped up. I've thrown the pillows, the blankets. My girlfriend's questioning what's happening. So I've ran out of the tent, and I've pulled its tail to get it out of the tent. And as I've pulled the tail, it starts chasing me. And I would have run. I would have won a 100-meter sprint against a professional athlete.
Yeah, right. So you were nude running away from a goanna.
My undies were to my knees. And because I'm on my family campsite, everyone's watched me run out with everything.
Do they see the goanna, or just see you running out?
Yeah. My whole family have seen my willy. And to this day, they don't forget.
Yeah,
you're not going to forget that. Absolutely.
Yeah, Sorry?
What a note to end on, yeah.
Yeah, but did you stay with that lady for much longer, or how did that relationship go?
We're still together. It's been...
Well, you got the mermaid hair, blow-dry brush. They scare off goannas.
Susie and Aaron.